Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
8:37 Central African time, at that time of the morning, where we join Member of Parliament and the leader of the NFP, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to your segment of Parliamentary Tunes. And hi, doing this a beautiful morning, Ahmed.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm standing on the streets very close to the beach. I don't know if you can hear the waves, but yes, a beautiful day, quite a fun-full day for people there. It's because of the lovely weather, and with yesterday's coronation, many people came and they are still here, perhaps leaving today. Yeah, so there's a whole lot going down the beachfront in Durban in buzzing, no doubt about it.
Yeah, they're buzzing there, and maybe coming to have a free shower in the Indian Ocean, but the E. coli, they're dangerous. You better tell them, but don't come and dive into the ocean. It's quite a dangerous thing to do. But looking at the coronation, we see that there's a tug of war. But you look at Cyril Ramaphosa has endorsed the new king. He's given him a certain Zulu royal certificate of approval. Tell me what's going on there. Is he
he doesn't have a choice. This is now going for the Zulu nation and their votes. So remember that the ANC's got to make ground with the fact that, you know, the IFP always believed like they owned the kingdom and the king himself. But I think, you know, so both of them are vying for the same votes, same support, and one can't let the other, you know. Right? I've seen the DA there as well. Of course, I saw some mulungus there in that attire as well. I saw some video shots of that and things. But I think what is important to note, the fight is not over as far as the kingship is concerned. The others are still contesting the matter. And I hope, you know, that sanity prevails and they go forward. Very difficult under the circumstances. But I think in the interest of the Zulu nation, we're going to have to go forward. But yesterday was just the president having to endorse. And, it's what, after 50-some-odd years, I think it's the first time that we found ourselves in this situation. Well, as anticipated, the terrorist threat did not happen. So, you know, there's a lot of questions. But also, many people are raising concerns about not to take this for granted if there has not been any terrorist activities yesterday, as anticipated by the United States and many other embassies of different countries. Fuel prices going up once again, so you have some relief, but yeah, again, going up again. Now, there's a whole lot of corruption, I'm told, that is going on as far as water tankers, and we're aware of this for a long period of time. Rather than building infrastructure to provide water to these people, you know, they use water tankers. Water tankers have been one of the ways many political parties have been bringing in revenue through corrupt means. So, yes, so that, the mafia working on the water tankers. Exactly the same thing with the supply of diesel and things to the power stations and things. Yeah, so. It now appears, according to some allegations, that it's the British Navy that blew up the North Stream gas pipeline.
Wow.
This is some evidence that is unfolding, but I think that many countries in the last couple of days are raising concerns about the role of NATO. And particularly the United States of America. And of course, I don't know if you heard what Joe Biden said instead of Rishi Sunak. Did you hear what he basically said? Called him what?
Rashid. He gave him Rashid Biden.
But anyway, these are just some. But of course, there's been some activities in India, of course. Cow dung fight. Can you imagine it? It's like an event on its own. But what don't our people in this world do? Very unfortunate situation at a school, in the Kuro school, where one of these children was knocked over in the school premises. And yet some parents are saying they've raised this concern many a times about the safety, how vehicles are coming in and going, and nothing really has been done about it. And of course, you know, this poor child died as a result of that very, very difficult situation that we're finding ourselves. These are just some of the things. Of course, There is more and more information coming on the Pala Pala. So it will be very interesting to see where it is going. But there's also something on the political arena between Shivambu and Malema. And it looks like that Shivambu wants to take over the EFF. Some say Malema will not give up until he goes to the grave. Others are saying, well, Shivambu must take over. And I think that tells you that it's a matter of time where the fight is going to start.
Well, Amir, I think we should watch that space because if Malema leaves EFF, I mean, which is highly improbable, but then he'll jump ship and go back to his homeland, known as ANC, and they will welcome him with both arms there. I know that.
Well, knowing Julius Malema, brother, but if he has to, if this has to happen, he will attempt to get rid of Shivambu and everybody else. And if that happens, then Shivambu and him will go and open another political party. So I want to tell you, strange enough, and I was speaking to somebody the other day, an EFF member of parliament, and I was told that, you know, if you put them down on paper, you at least can communicate with Malema. Even if you've said nasty things, had arguments with him, you can still greet him and talk to him again. But it will never happen as far as Shivambu is concerned. And in laws. And you can see, to be honest with you, the arrogance of them. Even when they come to parliament, when they walk, there's about an air about them. And that is, I think, the difference with Julius. But in a nutshell, I think if that starts, that is, and it's coming soon to the screens. People can expect that. Because people are all after power. And some of them are so power hungry that they don't even want a deputy position. They want to be, all want to be presidents, all want to be chairs, all want to be the country. I don't know, you know.
Well, Ahmed, I'm looking at a message on the screen. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. I want to talk about KZN and its politics. One would have thought that Jacob Zuma controls the roost in this part of the world. Buthelezi is a sell-by date. But how did Zuma allow Ramaphosa to come and officiate at the function? Good question there, Ahmed.
Well,
how do you respond?
Well, remember, it is the responsibility of the president to acknowledge and recognize the king himself. So, I mean, that is a responsibility given to the president of the country. And former President Jacob Zuma is no longer the president. So, after there's nothing, untoward about what happened. It's processes. And in any event, let us not run away from the fact, no matter what it is, and even though the Jacob Zuma might be closer to the king, but the responsibility falls on the shoulders of the president of the country. So the president is obviously done what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, and perhaps, Jacob Zuma related to the king through marriages because most of his wives happen to be Swazis, if I'm not mistaken, Ahmed.
Not really. I was told the one wife that I think former President Jacob Zuma paid Lebola to in Swaziland, and that was brought to my attention about 3 years ago. She refused to marry. You know, but apparently she refused to, and she chose to opt out.
So he loses at 14 cows.
Well, custom whether you must return the cattle if you want to go ahead with it, but I'm told that she chose not to want to marry me.
Yeah, Ahmed, and as we talk about many issues, and there's an issue of that super yacht that has come into Cape Town Harbour, and the government allowed it, the state allowed it, but the mayor of Cape Town is gone into a tumultuous tangent. What's wrong with the mayor of Cape Town?
Well, I have, this is a media statement on that. I think he's going beyond his boundary. It's nothing to do with local government. This is a national issue. And because you support Ukraine doesn't mean that you must, you believe you have to do what you want to do. No, clearly not. It's not part of their responsibility at all. And, but also, this is all about point scoring, you understand, because some of them have made up their minds that they're supporting Ukraine in this. Others are supporting Russia. So that is why we are having this kind of a problem here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, our government was a bit insulted. They said, how come the Americans went straight into the press and made a press statement that, you know, the bombs will come, there's ISIS crisis and so forth, but they didn't even get in touch with the South African government. And surely this is not a healthy situation, Ahmed.
Well, it seems like that they know more than we know. Hmm. And you know what is disturbing, Brother Shaban? They are not giving information. What is it about? Who are supposed to? Which is this terrorist organization that was going to do that? They are just insinuating that it might be or have it might be Islamic terrorists. So really, you know, and remember, they chose that sentence because there was going to be this gay pride protest or whatever it is. So you know, but it's disturbing because you don't even you can't even pick up the phone and speak to your counterpart in this country, and you go out and put it all over the media. I mean, surely it's not on.
No, absolutely, and you know, they should be castigated for that. And you know, people should be careful. Now, I'm reading an article. I want you to comment on this. I'm a self-proclaimed prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, robs students and tricks her into stealing friends' cell phones in Free State. A 24-year-old woman was robbed by a man who posed as a prophet and his accomplice in the Free State. Police are searching for the pair accused of robbery with a firearm. Now, here we got a P-R-O-P-H-E-T making a P-R-O-F-I-T illegally. So, you know, people should be careful of these fraudsters, those people that scam, and especially people coming in as men of cloth, you know, different churches coming up. But most of them turn out to be quacks. Amada, your dire warning to the public?
Well, indeed, the Minister of Home Affairs has taken a decision to put better control mechanisms in place when it comes to these religious gatherings and the churches that are springing up all over. And in terms of visas for these people to come here to operate and things of that nature, it is. But a lot of people are being duped. Over number one, they have to repeatedly pay money, which is called tax, so it's becoming a money-making business. And secondly, and more important, you know, definitely into the minds of vulnerable people, you know, in the case of Bushiri, you can see the report that came out not long ago, how he worked with certain people and how they misled the people into believing that they can be assisted or not. So yes, it is a matter of concern. But I'm glad that Home Affairs and others are doing something about trying to because people are really being taken for a ride as far as that is concerned. On the issue of the terrorist thing, just one more issue. I think we must be mindful of them. Let us not rule out the fact that since the United States came about, that they might not have anything to do with it. The United States of America is a country that is famous environment, creating terrorist groups and that kind of thing. So, yeah. So it's strange that they knew about it. They know something is going on. We don't know. Our intelligence don't. Nobody else knows. But you created the panic and whatever it is. I don't know what the agenda is, but it will be a matter of time. It will be a matter of time, you know, before we are able to find out exactly what was this thing all about. But can you imagine, right up to this moment, we don't know a single thing about what was this terrorist plot about, where was it going to be taken, who is behind it, nothing, other than, like I alluded to the fact that they are now saying it could be a Muslim terrorist group. I don't know, they're linking it to that.
Yeah, and suddenly that was all over world headlines and yes, and everywhere, as you know what goes on. And the ANC National Executive Committee members believe that the slow pace at which criminal cases against its members are handled could undermine the party's controversial but necessary step-aside guidelines. So true, Ahmed, all these cases against, you know, ANC members that have looted and so forth, is you know, they're dragging it. They're actually dragging, and these guys are still being paid. Talk to us, Ahmed.
Yeah. Well, you know, now that the state capture, the president has indicated, although there's nothing really to read in his document, as to how these processes are going to unfold. Minister of Finance is available. But remember, everything depends on who wins this. If the RET wins this conference, they will throw everything out of the window. If Cyril wins it, he's going to go after it. See, the ESCOM COCO has already become a victim, okay, and many others will follow. But remember, you know, the difficulty I have is the president himself has got so many allegations against him, you understand, and yet he's in the position to appoint these people, the public protector, judges to these investigations and things. So, you know, it's a conflict of interest in my understanding. And if the president wins, I can tell you Palapala will be a thing of the past. It will go nowhere.
Well, I made a little bit of a laughter. I don't know whether it was a laugh or cry. Eh? The former municipal manager of Inkomazi, local municipality in Malelane, Muzi Daniel Ingengwen, yeah, has been granted 10,000 rand bail following his arrest on fraud allegations surrounding the purchase of a Mercedes-Benz. The 55-year-old Ingengwen, yeah, was arrested by Hawks of Serious Commercial Crime Investigation Unit and faces charges of fraud and contravening the Municipal Financial Management Act. Hey, how you like this, buying Mercedes-Benz and want to step up to status, Ahmed? Your thoughts?
Well, he's not the only municipal manager, you know, that is benefiting from it. But also remember this, Brother Shafat, that these municipal managers all work with political parties because they're appointed by political parties. If he benefited so much, rest assured, political parties and politicians benefited 10 times more. That's basically how it is. So, yeah. So let us remember this is a municipal manager eventually, through his processes, get these tenders and things awarded. And he's dictated to. So they all benefit in one way or the other. And I hope that at some stage it will come out. But I think it's only, you know, it's something that we've been raising, Brother Shepard, all the time about corruption at local government election level. And nobody wants to do anything about it. Nobody wants to do anything about it. And my argument that I have is, why not put measures in place? Why not put measures in place, Brother Shepard, so that you try to stop this thing, this corruption? Why do you need to wait for people to vote and then charge them and bring them to court and do all kinds of... Why?
Yeah, good point indeed, Ahmed. And these court cases, will they ever come to fruition? I mean, will there ever be a court case for these people that stole a big time, Ahmed?
Well, yes, particularly... people at the lower level are going to pay a bigger price because government has got to show that they're doing something about corruption, right? And so the big guys may, to some extent, get away with it, whilst they will target the smaller ones and say, well, we are doing something about corruption. We are doing something about corruption. But the fact of the matter is this. Corruption at local government level is, and provincial as well, is rife. And we know about it, and we know exactly where the weaknesses are. The question is, do we have the political will to do something about it? No, we don't. And that's the problem you're sitting with.
Well, Ahmed, we have 2 minutes to go because Tuesday day is 62 minutes long this morning. Perhaps your parting words?
Well, there's a report on the increase. I think it's, what, just over 3,500 hijackings in the country in a short period of time, 3 months. And vehicles that are being targeted is these Hiluxes, MP200s, those are the Nissan Buckies, Polos, Etios. These are some of the vehicles that are being hijacked. And very importantly, I want to reiterate that when you lock your car with the remote, please, it won't take you a second. That is all it will take you. Get to the handle of your car and just make sure that this thing is locked. Because the remote jamming devices that they use is where the problem is. And that has to take place simultaneously to you locking your vehicle. So if you press your remote, the button went down, and then you open your door or you need to check locked, you are much safer than relying just on the remote. Now, some will say you must press your remote twice or thrice, which is what I do as well. But they will remember these criminals are standing very close to that. They're watching what is going on. So if you press it again, nothing stops them from pressing it again too. And it's got to be done simultaneously. But the safer way is when you do, you try to open your car without the remote, and to make sure that the doors are locked. That now will deter them from being able to steal your vehicle away when it comes to that. But on hijacking, you need to be very, very careful. Always keep a distance from other vehicles, even if these people are blatantly holding you up in traffic and nothing is being done about it. So always make sure that there is a gap, enough gap between you and the cars, so that emergency you can also get away with. But be very vigilant. Very, very vigilant. Takes us back to when we were in school, Brother Shepherd said, look left, look right, look back, look front. Exactly the same thing.
Absolutely brilliant. Ahmad, you have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.